we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're in number two of the Triple Dipper starting right now. So I'm calling this section Reading Between the Lines. We got to draw some new congressional lines. The courts have ruled. We have a special session looming. And just yesterday, a friend of mine, Todd Stacey, is a publisher for Alabama Daily News. He's also the host of Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal. And, oh, by the way, he used to be the communications director for Congresswoman Martha Roby. I thought with all of that in mind, he might have a perspective. And sure enough, he also just published yesterday the maps that are being proposed by the plaintiffs who prevailed in that most recent Supreme Court case. So let me stop talking and get him on here. Todd Stacey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good, man. Thank you. Hey, listen, let me before we even get into the news side of things, let me ask you, did you work with Congresswoman Roby back when the last redistricting took place in like 2010, 2011?
No. So I actually happened to be in the legislature then. I was working in the speaker's office, and I did work on the issue because it happened in 2011. You know, we do this every 10 years after a census, and so it's actually been, this is going to be my third time, because back in 2001, I was an intern in the state senate, just sort of observing all these maps come through, and you know, as a kid, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2011, I was in the legislature as staff, and of course now reporting on it. And the one thing you can always count on is there's just going to be a lot of disagreement. But one thing that I'm glad you brought up is the delegation itself, in all those cases, including this most current one, the delegation itself really does play a big role in asking the legislature what it wants, how they want their districts to look.
Yeah.
And this time around, they got everything they wanted to include Congresswoman Sewell. I mean, that's just what I'm told, but obviously the courts felt differently.
Well, and I look at it, you know, speaking of Congresswoman Sewell, so she's been sort of, you know, out there crowing about this is going to be a wonderful thing, how great it is that the court ruled that we have to redraw the lines to create what they are referring to as two majority black districts. But the assumption on her part is that she'll still win back her current district and that Democrats would win that second new district. What are your thoughts on that? Is she going to be weaker or not?
Well, I think she is politically strong enough and popular enough that she would probably be fine almost no matter what. You'd probably have to, you know, drastically change her district to really include a lot of new territory. But she's probably going to be fine. But if that district does change to where you significantly reduce the black population to shift them elsewhere, then whenever she retires, then that the next time around, that's going to be a potentially a competitive seat for Republicans. So she's fine in the immediate future, I think. But you're right. I mean, look, that the current 7th district is drawn to be exactly what she needs to get elected, and it's only gotten, you know, better over time. And so, yeah, I mean, those of us who kind of work behind the scenes and have worked behind the scenes and know sort of what the real joke is, it is a little bit interesting to hear her talk about that, knowing that she got exactly the district she wanted.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but like you said, all the rest of them were pretty pleased with the layout of their district lines, and they all got a chance to not have to worry about it this last time around, but it looks like everybody's going to have something new, because once you start drawing one line different, it has a domino effect on all the others. There's no way around it.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned that we published it. It's still at the very top of the website. At Alabama Daily News, at aldailynews.com. You can go look at, there's four maps. One is the map that the plaintiffs have submitted. That means, you know, Evan Milliken, who's the lead plaintiff, but also ACLU, NAACP, and others that sort of joined into that lawsuit. They obviously prevailed in the lawsuit, and so they've got this map of what they would like to happen, it does create two majority black districts, the 7th, but also bringing the 2nd district to just above 50% black. And so that would obviously be very significant. It also changes the 2nd and the 1st down south to be really very different than they are now. But also, Sabine, and this is what's really interesting, are three other maps submitted by State Senator Bobby Singleton, the minority leader for the state Senate, the head Democrat. And they're very different than what the plaintiffs are submitting. They do not contain two majority black districts. They really don't contain any majority black districts, but you get up to, you know, 46-47% black in some cases. So that means probably very competitive between Republicans and Democrats, but they're also just geographically very different. And maybe I would say more like the current map.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because, like, for instance, I live in Etowah County, right, in the Gadsden area. And I've said multiple times on this show that where I live in South Etowah County is on the cusp of the third. I'm in the 4th, but on the cusp of the 3rd. I mean, I can throw a rock to the 3rd district from where I am. And then very close, really, to the current lines for the 6th district with Gary Palmer. So if they redraw them at all, I could wind up, me personally, being in a different district. Well, all three of Singleton's plans move Etowah, which is Robert Adderholt's most populous county, out of his district altogether and put it in the 3rd. So, you know, for those who pay attention and kind of know the lay of their land, so to speak, Singleton's plans have a dynamic effect, it seems, more in the middle to north. But you're right, the plan put together by the plaintiffs who won that case before the Supreme Court, I mean, they're redrawing Barry Moore, Congressman Barry Moore, and Congressman Jerry Carl in the 1st and 2nd districts down in the lower part of the state.
Yeah, and that's the one thing the delegation doesn't want is for two members to have to run against each other. I would say in the case of the plaintiffs actually getting their way, which I'm not sure they'll get exactly what they want. But yeah, if you saw a situation where, you know, Barry Moore in Coffee County had to run against Jerry Carl in Mobile County, those are two who are in the same district. You know, it probably wouldn't matter that. I mean, well, let me put this a different way. If Barry Moore's district ends up being anything like the majority black district that the plaintiffs put forward, it's probably not going to matter who his Republican opponents are. That district's going Democratic as long as there's a decent candidate. And so, maybe he doesn't want to be in Jerry Carl's district to run against each other, but it's all honestly probably the best chance he has of staying in Congress. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword.
That's interesting you say that. Because I was thinking, you know, how rough that would be for two members of the same delegation have to run against each other. But you're saying that you think that the plan put forward by the plaintiffs is the best chance that Barry Moore has of staying in. There's a whole dynamic. We could spend a whole segment just talking about the dynamics of Mobile versus the rest of that district. But
And I think Mobile's probably more populous, especially Baldwin. But I'm just saying that my better point is, if the 2nd district is brought up to being majority black, it's not going to matter who the Republican candidate is.
Well, so let me ask you this. What are you hearing from the state legislature? I mean, I know they've got a special session brewing. I've not seen a call yet, but we do have a date or a schedule of preceding events. What are you hearing about a special? Are they going to cram it in, get it in on time? Are they already working the maps? What are your thoughts? What do you hear?
Yeah, so there's a hearing tomorrow. The first public hearing is tomorrow at 1:30 in the State House. That's going to be in room 200 of the State House. It's kind of a big auditorium. It's also going to be live streamed. So if you go to the legislature's website, you can find a live stream if you want to do this. But this is the first public hearing. These maps, I'm sure, will be presented, probably some other ones. They'll probably run through sort of the basics of how this is going to work. But we've not heard a call. The courts, the three-judge panel has asked, and Alabama has agreed. I mean, this was a suggestion from the Attorney General that we'd be given until July 21st to pass new maps. That means the latest the governor could call the special session was – would be July 17th. You know, maybe they might need some more time, so she could call it earlier, but you're looking in that time frame. But in terms of what we're hearing, not a lot, because they're all being very tight-lipped, wisely so. I get it. I mean, you know, we're the guys in the media trying to get people to come on our shows and tell us what's going on. But this time, ever since this court ruling, they've been very, you know, tight-lipped. I think nobody wants to risk getting out of, you know, over their skis and saying something that may end up, you know, costing them in court. So we'll see. You know, the easy way out is just to pass what the plaintiffs have proposed here, because you know they're not going to challenge it in court, and so you know the court's probably going to be okay with it. But it all but guarantees, you know, one, you know, basically two Democratic seats. These other maps might be tempting for Republicans, because, you know, if you have anywhere from that 44-45% Black, that's not exactly a guarantee. That makes it competitive. And plus, these maps geographically are interesting, because at least the first one keeps all counties together, right? Like, county lines are all preserved in congressional lines. I think that's appealing to a lot of people. So we'll see. But, I know they don't want to pass a map and get cute with it and then go back to court and have them overturn it again. So that's sort of the game we're playing here.
So let me ask you this last question before we wind up our time here. But there's almost like a given, an assumption by Democrats that Blacks vote Democrat, and by and large we know they do. Polling will show that as a general rule, you can expect the majority of Black voters to vote Democrat. But we've begun to see more and more trends away from that just in recent years. Does that have any effect at all on the Democrats' chances of gaining two seats by the fact that we have now seen more and more Black voters expressing conservative interests?
It does, and I think there's a couple of things here. One is, it's not just, because you're right, it's about 90%. It's 90% of Black voters vote for Black candidates. But it's one thing is whether or not they vote. In recent elections, really the last couple of cycles, you've seen poor turnout from Black Democrats to support either statewide candidates or doesn't matter, just because they haven't had a lot of great candidates running. And so, you know, when Barack Obama stopped being on the ballot, you saw turnout really go down amongst Black voters. Mm. And so that's something right there. If you're not just turning out in the proper numbers. The other thing is candidates. I think if you're a Republican and you want to win in these more moderate districts, higher Black population districts, you're going to have to appeal better. The same old way of campaigning probably isn't going to work. I think you're right. I think a lot more Black voters are open to conservative ideas, but probably it takes a different type of candidate and different type of message to appeal to those voters than it is just your run-of-the-mill white Republicans that they're so used to only having to appeal to those. So the candidates are going to really have to play a different game and try to appeal to a different constituency, and that's a big challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, listen, Todd Stacey, we got to leave it there, man, but I really appreciate your time. The maps, I've got them printed out from your website right here. Before we go, if you want to tell folks again where to find you, go right ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, Alabama Daily News. It's online at aldailynews.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there. It's very helpful. But also Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television. It's the state's premier television a government politics talk show. It's weekly, out of session. That's Friday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at noon on Alabama Public Television.
All right, Todd Stacey, appreciate you, man. We'll have you on again sometime soon and keep tabs of all this, all right?
All right, thanks, Phil.
All right, thank you. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. I ran long on purpose, but there's just so much content there. Y'all, listen, who's your congressman? It makes a difference. Like right now. Adderholt has had 4th Congressional District lay of the land for a decade, and they're talking about changing that completely. And then down south, you may have our most conservative member of Congress, Barry Moore, Freedom Caucus guy, running against the guy who campaigned against the Freedom Caucus when he ran, Jerry Carl. Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll talk about it more in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Making common sense a superpower. All right, so the text lines are back up, by the way. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I'm going to go jump on some of those here in just a minute because we have not had a chance to do that for a while. Especially with, I appreciate all of y'all, by the way, who text in to make sure you knew that you couldn't hear us, because we knew it here too when the power went out. I tell you what's funny, Boomer. I'm of the mind that nothing's wrong with your back. I saw you leap out of your chair and start hitting buttons.
I leaped out quick.
Yeah, like a superhero over there. Just anyway, and what the heck, man? I mean, not that I didn't want it to come right back on, but power just drops, comes back. It's like somebody flipped a switch somewhere and then turned it right back on. Anyway, we're up. We're running. Let's see. We got some text messages here. What can I say? We have talked so far about number one of the Triple Dipper, Russian Roulette, the craziness that's happening. And we still got to watch it. I mean, right now, Senator Mark Warner, Senate Intelligence Committee, is on Fox as I'm looking over at the screen talking about what he calls the current turmoil in Russia. It's we're not done with that yet, by the way. There's no way we're done with that. Allie from Athens texted in about that issue and said, is this Crown Prince Ferdinand in World War I? I mean, you got to look at it and go, what does it take? What's the spark? Because wars don't always start because of a premeditated, you know, deep strategic planned out operation. Sometimes they are reactionary. Sometimes they are things that are flashes that create what they call a flashpoint. Anita from South Huntsville, Boomer, don't look to Prigozhin as an example for how to approach your boss for a raise.
You're right.
Pretty sure Prigozhin has stepped back, recognizing he has no career left in Russia and is hiring a soup tester. Stephen from Madison texted in and said, how big you reckon the check was to make them turn around? I don't know, man. I wonder the same thing, bro. Did he get bought off? Then again, was Lukashenko bought off? I don't know. George from Huntsville, our power went out, and George from Huntsville says, oh, darn, the Fed shut off your signal. Let's hope not. Michelle from Ohatchee also giving us a heads up. Thank you, Michelle. Brian from Huntsville, oh, great, local radio went dead. I thought that combat column went to Gadsden instead of Huntsville. No, the Wagner Group does not care about what we're doing here. Jeff from Holly Pond making us aware. Thank you very much, sir. Alan from ARAB making us aware. John from Huntsville. So, Phil, who do I need to blame for the technical difficulties? Somebody Democrat, I'm sure. That's all I can say there. And then Andrew from Tony, Alabama, talking about that redistricting thing we had on a minute ago. He said, Alabama's so racist that our government finds it difficult to gerrymander district lines because the people are so mixed together and not segregated. I don't know, man. All I know is we were told you couldn't do it on racist issues, and then we were told you weren't racist enough. We need more race. It's amazing. All right, coming back up, we're going to do a little bit more on this reading between the lines, getting a grip on where we're headed. Can Republicans hold the line and maintain at least 6? Who knows, maybe 7 seats? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, even the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three, inexplicably. How do we get to hour three that fast? It's been a great show. We spent the first part of the Triple Dipper talking about what I titled Russian Roulette and the situation going on with the Wagner Group and the dynamics in and around all of that. If you want to text in or call in about it, you're welcome to it, 833-687-4448. And then we also talked about the madness right now, the craziness surrounding the fact that we have to redraw our congressional district lines again. Why? Because we weren't racist enough. No one saw that one really coming, to be honest. I mean, even those who watch the Supreme Court and think they know what it means when one of the justices asks a question a certain way or whatever, you look at it and think, okay, everybody, if you go back and look at the news articles, people really thought that the justices were going to rule in the conservative favor and not make us redraw the lines. Nope. I mean, why did we think that? Because our position was we did all of what we did in a race-neutral way, largely weighed out or played out in terms of the same district lines that have been there for the most part since 1992. There have been nuances, there have been changes, bits and pieces, but nothing wholesale. And yet, we were, you know, the 1965 Voting Rights Act says, well, you know, you cannot just dilute someone's vote. Race can't be the overarching factor. We, as the Department of Justice, have to proof any of your changes to election laws. We have been under the gun since the 60s. And then, wow, we finally come out from under the Voting Rights Act with a Shelby County case that occurred in 2014. And we're like, oh, we can see the light of day. We're allowed to be big people again. We're allowed to act like grown-ups and prove to the world that things are better. And what happens? We use the 10-year census, redraw the lines, and lo and behold, we get sued. Why do we get sued? Because you weren't racist enough. What does that mean? Because they claim that because the state is roughly 20... it's either 24 or 27% black in population, that by that token alone, that we should have a pro rata roughly two congressional districts, because they base the congressional districts on population. And so, wait a minute. Are you telling me that it's not about dividing up the state in terms of its geography in a congressional district by population? Now it has to be population with race being the top consideration. Yes, that's what we're saying. Well, daggum, I wish you'd have said that before we drew the lines last time. But nonetheless, we're going back in. So yeah, the drawing of the lines is going to be a running gun battle for a while. So right now, the plaintiffs in the case, they have presented a map. You heard Todd Stacey a few moments ago talking about it. And it doesn't look too different in North Alabama, I'll be honest. But South Alabama, wow. They take two of our Republican congressmen and they draw them into the same district. So they'll have to run against each other if they want to stay in. Barry Moore and Jerry Carl. Jerry Carl represents out of District 1, out of the Mobile area. And then Barry Moore represents District 2, living in the Coffee County area, over near Geneva, that area, or down, you know, in the Wiregrass region. And we're going to wind up. Anyway, that's one map. Then the other three maps he talked about are from Senator Bobby Singleton, the Democrat minority leader, in the state Senate. Well, I don't know where his maps came from, because they're all over the place. And I look at it and think, for the love, I mean, this is a wow, complete redo. Like Shelby County. Shelby County, right now, you're in Congressman Palmer's 6th district. You would then be in Congressman Rogers' 3rd district. How about our listeners in Walker County? Walker County, you are mostly in Congressman Adderholt's district, and you may stay there, although part of it may come over to the 6th district. Tuscaloosa County, if y'all are listening down there, you are currently in the, well, what are you in? All these maps have Tuscaloosa either being split up or moved. Right now, I think you're about half and half between the 7th district and the 4th district, but you're looking at all being in the 7th district. I mean, it's just, it's a redo. It's like, if you're a congressman right now, you're staring at it going, I don't even know where to campaign right now. Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. The Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, was on last week. A piece of information came out from him on 1819 News last week. He said the Alabama Republican Party is disappointed in the Supreme Court decision and that the party vows to work hard to win all 7 seats. So one of the weird dynamics, got another story from 1819 here. Congresswoman Terry Sewell is currently our only Democrat in the U.S. delegation. And she is representing an area that is, you know, largely black in population. And she has been crowing about this as being a great day. This is so exciting, she told CNN host Kate Buldan. It's really amazing. I think this time we realize that justice delayed can also mean not justice denied. And so I just think it's really important. This is an amazing story for black Alabama voters. It's for our democracy. It's for the Voting Rights Act. And I've had the great honor of representing Alabama's 7th Congressional District. It's my home district, my hometown of Selma and Birmingham, Montgomery. And she goes on to say, what a great day it is. The question becomes, depending upon what lines they draw, will she still have a strong enough district to get reelected? What if they take and draw hers from a position where she's got something like 60% black vote in her district down to like 51% and draw another truly majority black district, but barely 51%. And then we don't have a good turnout for Democrat black voters. And then what if we see more and more, like we're seeing on the national level, what if we see more and more that black voters are like, Joe Biden, what have you done for me? This economy has crushed my family. Your COVID restrictions crushed my family. Your lack of school choice is crushing my family. What if you begin to see more and more what we are seeing nationally, that black voters begin to move, even if by a percentage or two, move towards Republican voting? And then what happens if we redraw these lines and the margins are thin, but they are approved to have 2 black majority districts, but barely? And let's say Trump wins the nomination and he picks Tim Scott as his VP. Tim Scott, a conservative black man with a strong message who can get out there and campaign. What if that happens and it drives people to the polls to vote for who they believe is a strong black man running for a conservative seat and he picks up a percentage or two of swing voters from the black community? I'm just telling you, there's ways this could break down and you can be optimistic. Then again, we may wind up with a delegation coming up next year that says, oh, look, we have 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats. And it also has an impact on the national majority in Congress. We got to pick up more seats up there. Our margins are so razor thin that we could lose the majority with a couple of strange things like this that we didn't even see coming. All right, there's that. That's number 2 of the Triple Dipper, reading between the lines. Keep your eyes on the ball, y'all, because they're going to be going to a special session coming up here in the next couple of weeks, and they're going to decide who's your congressman, and that's going to decide what do we have in terms of a U.S. delegation. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. I'm jumping to number 3 on the Triple Dipper, and I'm going to start off by just making you mad. I'm just warning you, get ready. It's like Adventures in Woke World on the ugly side. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.